bum, Brian Windhorst, and do the Hoop Collective.
Definitely work.
Dick Wolf. I always said that on Law & Order, that the DA, you know, I always thought they could have filmed the entire season of his scenes in one day. Because, you know, they just walk in and he would go, "You don't have a case. Make a deal." You know, "Yeah, just because I know how to make eggs doesn't mean I cook breakfast." I feel like they just, you know, all he did was say, you know, "You don't have a case," you know, poo-pooed everything.
I want a drop board now, just that.
It'd be great. It'd be great.
It's Brian Windhorst in the Hoop Collective.
Thank you, Mr. Hahn. This is Andrew Hahn, coordinating producer of the Hoop Collective. Executive producer?
Sure, whichever one pays more.
Coordinating executive producer of the Hoop Collective. Andrew, we're in Los Angeles. At this point, I can almost say my home away from home.
Your home away from home.
It doesn't feel like it is, but I'm here all the time.
Right. Well, for tax purposes, it's not.
No, I shouldn't say that. I'm here only a couple of days a year. What are you talking about? Thank you very much for reminding me. So today we're doing another one of these experimental things. I mean, is it experimental if you're doing it again?
Yeah. I mean, it's an experiment until it succeeds, right?
Or fails.
Right.
You'll probably fail.
A running diary podcast.
Yes. And so today we have the Minnesota Timberwolves at the Los Angeles Lakers. It's on ESPN. Of course, I don't know why I'm promoting that by the time this posts.
Right. It will have already come out.
But you should be watching ESPN Sunday night.
Wednesday night
and Friday night. Basketball.
All the fine products at ESPN and ESPN.com.
Thank you very much.
ESPN the app.
Good job. My buzzer on my leg almost went off there that I didn't promote. So we are at the our LA studios here, which is across the street from Staples Center. And, you know, we did this a few weeks ago. We focused a lot on the Lakers. And, you know, we're going to focus on a little bit more on the Wolves, although I really don't know how today's going to go. But we're going to go over to the Wolves shoot around.
They're staying in one of these downtown hotels. They're doing their shoot around at Staples Center this morning.
I haven't been to shoot around at Staples Center forever. I mean, amazingly. So we're going to go check it out.
We're going to go check that out. We're going to go hit up the... You'll be on Countdown tonight, so we'll talk to the Countdown crew again, maybe.
My first appearance on Countdown of the season. Will it be the last, Andrew Hahn? Do you think I will...
I don't think climate change is coming back quickly.
Well, do you think that I will be judged as not good enough on Countdown and will be not asked back this season?
Ooh, tune in to find out.
Well, we won't know. We'll only know...
Bum, bum.
We'll only know within the subsequent weeks. You don't have a case. You're not good enough to be on Countdown. Dick Wolf. Created by Dick Wolf. All right, so come along with us as we go over to the Staples Center. All right, so shoot around just ended here at the Staples Center with the Wolves. I'm here with Taj Gibson, who is getting his knees taped. Did you get your knees taped when you first came into the league?
Yeah, it's mandatory. Everybody does it. Okay. That's the first thing they teach you. Ice your knees.
So this is a regular game day where you guys didn't play last night, yeah. So it's a standard game day. So how does your day go from here?
Back to the hotel. Just sit with the guys, eat some food, conversate, just take my nap, get ready for the game.
Where do you want Jimmy Butler to fly you?
Huh?
Where do you want Jimmy Butler to fly you? He's home now, so he doesn't need a flight.
The fact that you're here is pretty amazing because you are with the Timberwolves and you're going to play the Lakers tomorrow, but your boy Jimmy Butler loaned you the plane to get here to see your brother. What can you say about Jimmy's gesture?
That's my guy. That's my guy. Very selfless. And he was actually supposed to be here. Something came up, but he told me to go anyways. And so, yeah, nice of him.
I don't know. Somewhere hot.
So how much, like, prep on the Lakers do you actually do?
We do a lot of prep. You know, you got LeBron James. So many different defensive coverages, got to run back. It's a lot of things because when he's on the court, you got to at least have at least three guys on him.
So when do you do that prep? Like here in shoot around?
Do it as soon as you get up in the morning. Because, you know, playing against any kind of LeBron team, you know you're going to get your best. So as soon as you get up in the morning, before you even touch the floor, watch a couple of some film, and be locked in.
So what time do you get up, like, on a game day like today?
Like at least 7, 8.
That's early.
Really early, because it's really important. Because you know you're going to be this team's best.
Yeah, so you take your nap. So what time do you come over, on the first bus or second bus?
First bus.
That's rare for a veteran, Taj.
Nah, because I like to watch the film, and I like to hang with the young guys, just stay in tune, make sure they're doing the things right.
Not a lot of veterans in your stage ride the first bus. That's like a thing. Like
I do it sometimes. I'm not always on the first. I mix it in.
So you watch film with the coaches, like, before the game?
Yeah, it's mandatory because you never know. You don't want to get be that guy in that one play at the end of the game where you just miss the assignment. So try to put as much as you can into it. I wasn't like that when I first got in the league, but now I'm trying to just pay more dividends into it.
And how much, like, do you do treatment before the game? How much stretching do you do?
A lot of stretching, a lot of water.
Okay, how much water are we talking about?
Maybe a gallon. A gallon. You just have to stay hydrated, but I try to, that's one of the main things Wild Dang taught me, Kurt Thomas taught me.
How early are you start drinking that?
As soon as you get up.
Really?
Try to just hit the halfway mark as soon as you get up, because you understand you're burning so many calories from the shoot around. You might lift after the shoot around. You got to just keep it moving.
What's your typical pregame meal?
Mostly pasta.
Mm-hmm.
Pasta, steamed veggies, some grilled chicken, something that can just hold me over for the game.
And when do you eat that?
I eat it right when we get back to the hotel from shoot around, and eat another meal like that right before the game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. So you have two meals before the game, between now and the game?
Yeah.
Okay. And, like, how early do you start your, like, prep routine in terms of, like, stretching and working out? Like, you look at the clock and...
What, when I get to the arena?
Yeah.
As soon as I get to the arena, that's what I'm thinking about. Just stretching, drinking a lot of Gatorade, watching film, more stretching, getting your body mentally prepared, getting your body physically prepared for the up and downs of the game. A lot of band work, core strengthening. It's a lot going into the game day.
So you're from New York, but you played college here at USC.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get a lot of ticket requests still?
All the time. It's even worse when I go to it's worse here than when I go home to New York.
Right.
So it's like you have to pay it. You have to really pay it forward, but it's crazy. But being around Tibbs now, he knows. So the ticket people mostly take care of it, so I don't have to have any of the hassle.
So, like, there comes a point where there's no more comp tickets, even if you get some from your friends. And the other thing is, it's L.A., so everybody's got people here.
Yeah.
So
but the thing about it, though, my teammates are great.
Okay, they take care of you?
My teammates are great. I don't even have the time. Half the time, I don't even have to say anything. They just, like, Taj, you got my two tonight. That's the kind of guy I am.
Because I'm glad you said that, because I don't think people understand. They just think, oh, players get however many free tickets. They want 10 free tickets, they get free tickets. Like, you guys get two.
You get two.
Two per game.
Especially here now.
Right.
The tickets went
for
up.
For a Laker game.
Laker game. One ticket almost like $341.
Wow.
Let you know.
So, like, this week you guys played the Clippers and the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
The Clippers tickets are cheaper.
They're cheaper.
So if you're going to go into your pocket, I'm just being real, you're going to go into your pocket for your friends and family.
Yep.
Come to the game on Monday against the Clippers, where maybe you can get it for $100.
Yeah, and maybe get you even closer to the court.
Right.
Yeah. But the Laker tickets, oh, man.
Crazy.
Crazy, crazy.
Yeah. So, like, you got to, I mean, look, I feel the same way. You got to draw the line at some point, you know, about these tickets. Things.
Turn the phone off.
Right. It's a whole thing.
Put it on sleep. Yeah.
It's a whole thing. I'm with Anthony Tolliver. I just informed Anthony that I live in Omaha, where he is there's levels of Creighton gods.
Mm-hmm.
We have Kyle Korver at the top of Creighton gods.
Mm-hmm.
We have Doug McDermott, second level Creighton god.
Yeah.
Then we have Anthony Tolliver, third level Creighton god.
Yeah, there we go. I'll take that. It's fine.
I mean, it's still god level. I mean, if you want to be a god somewhere, it's Omaha, Nebraska. I've
right.
always said that.
Right, right.
So just asking you a little about your game day routine. We just talked to Taj about it. This is your, what, like 17th year in the league?
Something like that.
It 11th, feels like
11th, but
it feels like 17th.
Yeah, sometimes the body feels like that.
By the way, 11 years. I'm going to just step outside here and say that's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, I mean, especially
considering
coming out of college, I wasn't expected to do one. So, you know, it's definitely awesome to be able to say I'm a super vet in this league. It's awesome.
How many times when you came into the league, did you get cut? Did you get cut ever?
Yeah, multiple times. Cleveland,
San Antonio, Miami, and then if you count the 10 days, Portland, New Orleans. Yeah, so that's five, I think.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's in the first 3 years.
Damn.
Yeah, so a lot. So
I'm just saying 11 years is pretty good.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it was definitely a grind just to get here, but, you know, definitely a blessing to stay.
So what's the rest of your day going to look like?
I'm going to go get some good food.
What kind of food? What are you getting?
They have, lunch, a brunch for us. They have, where you can get breakfast or lunch.
You just get kinda, breakfast or lunch, which do you get?
Usually breakfast. Okay. I'm a breakfast guy.
You're a breakfast man?
Yeah, breakfast guy, usually.
I want to point out it is after 11 a.m. So
Brunch time,
this is allowed.
Right. But, get the veggie omelet and, try to do something healthy, but then do something unhealthy to balance it out. Like a waffle, something like that.
This is an NBA place as a waffle is unhealthy.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
That's why he's played 11 years.
Yeah, that is my level of unhealthy, I guess. Then after that, just go hang out, just rest, maybe take a nap, eat a little pregame meal, which usually consists of just a sandwich or something light, and then come over and warm up and go to work.
First bus or second bus?
Second
attaboy.
Bus.
Attaboy. That's what a veteran says.
Yeah, second
Tosh
bus.
Tosh was giving me some BS about him taking the first bus.
Yeah.
I don't buy it. Of course, I won't here, be here to see
I'll
the first
probably,
bus.
I'll probably wait for the second bus to leave and just walk over because it's right across the street.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't actually get here to watch the first bus come in either. I mean, this is my 17th year covering the league. I'm not about that life. So you are part of the union. What's your role in the union?
So I'm secretary treasurer now.
Okay.
Just took over that over the last year or so.
Now, how awesome is it that you guys get per diem and also the team also gives you food? That's like
the best thing ever.
That's the bomb. That wasn't the case when you came in the league. I know that.
No, I mean, it's definitely gotten better.
How much better
is
the food in the NBA now than it was when you came in the league? Because I look at it and I'm like, I'm way more impressed with it. I don't eat
it. Food's great. I never complain about that. Everywhere that they get catered from is usually top notch.
All right, well, the bus is leaving. I don't want you to have to miss it because it's a long 30-second walk back to the hotel. Thank you, Anthony.
Thanks,
you had good luck tonight.
Yep.
I think I have a very important question that all of our listeners want to know. How happy are you that Nick Friedell is no longer covering your team?
Absolutely thrilled. I couldn't be better.
Did you really get depressed that you thought you had gotten away from him when you left Chicago, came to Minneapolis, and then all of a sudden last year he starts showing up every day?
Oh, yeah. You just can't shake that guy. He's relentless, and he's a pain, and he's all of the above. But, I thought I finally had gotten away from him. And lo and behold, relatives in Edina, and I start seeing him weekly.
So he does an impression of your laugh. Do you do any impressions of Nick Friedell?
Impossible, other than his attire, in any big city that... At the morning shoot around, there should be a fine for what he wears.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Hello.
Nick, it's Andrew. I have Windhorst with me.
Nick, we had an audience with Tom Thibodeau, your old friend, today. And he levied some, I would say, Andrew, some very serious charges at you. He said that your dress code for shoot-arounds was pathetic over the years. He said that the only reason that you ever came to Minnesota was to see your family in Edina, and that he doesn't miss you at all. What say you to Mr. Thibodeau?
Well, I know he misses me. He just doesn't want to make that public, one. Two, the fact that he's giving me a hard time about anything I ever wore is funny, since this comes from a man who only wears a black tracksuit all day, every day, at every practice of all time. And three, he's right about the family stuff, but I love to mix in a good basketball game here and there. And Minnesota's awesome when it's not 20 below. So I miss him. I do.
There's an extra mic.
What are we talking about here?
Sports.
Yeah, sit down, turd. Oh, my God. Food's not even ready.
How long does this take?
Five minutes.
Oh, literally?
Yeah, it's the best 5 minutes of your life. Oh, my stomach just growled.
We were at the Wolves.
Yeah, my stomach
was growling. Is it ready?
Yep.
Tell us 1, 2, 3. Countdown show just ended, or did Courtside just end?
Is it? Countdown.
But then it's called Courtside.
Well, it's like the final countdown. We sort of changed it, because now okay. The Courtside is
the final countdown.
The accompaniment.
We just cost $10,000 to buy that.
I did.
With Michelle Beadle and Chauncey Billups.
Hi, bud.
Chauncey, you are so well dressed.
Wait,
from the waist up.
Well, I mean,
yeah, waist down.
I'm wearing jeans.
Gross. He's not wearing jeans. He's literally wearing sweatpants.
Where do NBA players? Where is the best place to get good clothes for NBA players?
That's a good question. Most of the guys now. Even then, like, everything is kind of custom made.
Yeah,
especially
naturally.
These guys, you know, we're not custom. We're custom made, built. You can't just go walk into.
You can't go to Saks.
I know you're not going to Men's Warehouse, so
Macy's.
I've seen you at a Saks before on the road.
Well, I'm decently normal. You know,
boy, that, but, you could go a lot of ways with that. You could go a lot of ways with that.
Yeah, you can.
But so, like.
Like, for instance, my guy.
You have a guy.
Yeah, I got a guy named Andre Holiday that makes all my
Where is he?
Suits. He's in Denver.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So and everybody kind of has a guy or a girl, actually.
We got to get a guy.
Would you laugh at me if I told you that I had a stylist in Omaha? Would you laugh at me?
Oh, I would laugh.
I'm an Omaha guy. My dad's from Omaha. I told you.
Is that right?
What does that have to do with him having a stylist in Omaha?
I know that Omaha is a real city, and they have stylists there. They got everything there. Most people don't.
I don't have a stylist.
Never mind. I wouldn't even
anything
say.
About Omaha, Nebraska.
I know there's a Red Lobster there, but that's Kearney, I think.
See,
Kearney.
That's my point. You're most
Kearney.
People.
Beads, you coastal elite. Even though you're from Texas, Kearney and Omaha are like 400 miles apart.
Correct me if I'm wrong. But 400 miles in the middle, because I am from Texas, is nothing. That's like a day's quick drive.
I wouldn't say it's quick, but, you know.
I mean, you have to drive 45 minutes to go anywhere.
You know, Chauncey, you live in Denver. People never know what time it is there.
That's
no, you can associate, you can appreciate that with me, right? Nobody knows what time it is.
Nobody knows what time it is.
Chauncey, how much basketball do you watch during the week?
Probably.
You're very.
I'm here twice a week.
He's the teacher.
Yeah.
So I'm probably watching games 4 or 5 times a week.
Okay.
And then I'm flipping
but you,
around.
But
flipping
yeah,
around.
But you it's more than just one game. Yeah,
I'm flipping around. I'm watching.
You spend a lot of time really studying the league. You really are on the edge in my mind.
I do.
You call the GM.
I mean,
I do.
Just in case.
Well,
right?
If you've seen our show, you know that I got to do a lot of heavy lifting with Paul Pierce up there.
Woo!
I got to do some heavy lifting sometimes.
Bless his heart, though. You know.
So you know,
it's got good intentions.
I got to watch the league for all of us.
You know what I like about Beadle is that she has this. This is a talent that is not mastered enough at this network. When somebody says something that she finds like bizarre. Like out of the office, you know,
mm-hmm.
Like Jim in the office, like,
Halpert.
Looks, yeah, Jim Halpert, like
character.
he's sort of like with the audience, like, can you believe this is
oh,
going on?
Yeah,
you have that mastered.
Thank you.
And I think it's a real talent. I think you should put it on your resume.
I should update my resume. That's actually a good point. But I don't even know how you would write that out.
You have that connection.
I have that office thing.
She got the thing.
Yeah.
She got the thing that people don't have.
She has this look where she can go, do you believe this is a show?
I mean,
do you believe that this is
a
show?
Yeah.
And they have like people and they have like makeup people.
People got paid to make that happen.
I know.
Like we got paid to make that happen.
I know. It's amazing.
That's ridiculous.
I'll be honest. Beads is like, Beads is a blast. I'm not going to lie. She's fun every day. She's like my sister that I'm going to beat up probably.
That's about right.
But I love her.
You're like the brother that I couldn't wait for him to leave the house. And Paul's like the brother that we literally just rip to shreds daily.
Yes.
Right? And then Jalen's sort
but
of like.
Why would you want me to leave?
Because I just think you were probably like teacher's pet and like parents probably loved you more than everyone else because you were like, oh, Chauncey does everything right. And I don't like that person.
That's nice. I'm really glad that you think I do everything right. I don't think
you do everything right, but I think authority figures think you do everything right.
Oh, very nice.
Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. I know Beetle does not.
I don't like authorities.
When it comes to authority figures, she doesn't
rules, do anything. Rules, nothing. Nothing. She just don't believe in rules or anything.
No, I believe in rules if they have a purpose. I don't believe in rules for the sake of making rules. That's silly.
Can you describe how fun it is to sit in that room? And I'm keeping you from it, so we'll let you guys go in a minute. How fun it is to sit in that room and watch the games.
Oh, it's the most.
Like, I wish the show could be that room.
I actually agree with you.
It can't be for about ratings. 400 reasons, but...
Yeah, that's true, too.
Can you describe what it's like to watch games with Chauncey, Paul Pierce, Jalen, Tracy?
I love basketball. I grew up loving basketball. It is by far my favorite sport. So it's kind of crazy that my job is to sit in a room with these guys, and I guess Chauncey, and watch basketball games and, like, just sort of as a fly on the wall, absorb and learn. You know, I've learned good things and bad things. It's been quite fun. Like, being on the road with the finals, too. That's just a whole different experience. I mean, it's just bizarre that that's my job. Like, I feel very happy about that.
I mean, Chance, you're used to watching. This has been your whole life. But it is kind of cool to be in that environment.
No, it is. Normally, as you said, I'm watching the games alone at home. You know, just kind of watching them around. But being able to watch them in here with Paul and...
I mean, Paul.
And they have a whole setup. They have all these TVs. They have all the games on. They have
everything.
Nice chairs.
You really just argue with Paul for 2 or 3 hours.
Jalen has
fun.
Popcorn.
Yeah, Jalen will eventually get popcorn.
From the movie theater.
Which is another crazy.
He'll walk to the movies.
Yeah, I don't get how he just so calmly walks over there and is just covert about it. I mean, he's sort of noticeable, but he does it every time.
Yeah, it's one of the most amazing things about ESPN, I think.
It's a weird thing that he does. The room's great. The room is great.
It is wonderful. Well, this is a wonderful room, too. It's 15-4 Philly in in Indiana. They might actually get a road win.
No,
and you guys have to go actually prepare for halftime.
Yeah, so I guess I'll go eat dinner.
Thank you for stopping by. Oh, there's dinner. There's food.
Heck yeah.
Andrew, let's pause this podcast. Okay, so it's midway through the first quarter. Andrew and I are in the press room. I have a courtside seat, like, press for this game, but I really didn't feel like going out there tonight.
Yeah, and very often in a lot of media rooms, they have 6 or 7 screens in the media room so you can watch a bunch of
Well, this is the best media room in the league.
Oh, is it? I've only been in, like, 3.
Yeah. And they have ice cream. Andrew gets ice cream every game.
It's the main reason why I come to games.
Okay. And you put sprinkles on it.
Right. But I don't think anyone cares about that. The reason we fired up the recorder again. We're sitting here, so we're watching the Timberwolves play the Lakers on the main screen, and on the side screen, the Raptors are in Sacramento, and you'd made the comment that this is a night that the Kings could get the Raptors.
Yeah, and I'm nervous about saying this now because when people listen to this, what if the Raptors have won the game by like 28 and I sound like a fool?
Sure, but it's not you weren't saying that the Kings would win. You're just saying that this is the kind of situation that would not be favorable to the Raptors.
Right. I just, you know, the rest is the fourth game of the Raptors trip, this road trip. LeBron just threw down a huge dunk. Everyone's excited, but they're losing to the Wolves. It's the fourth game of the Raptors trip. Kawhi just came back. They just played 2 great games. Sacramento has been better than expected, but they're not, you know, the Warriors. So it's a classic sort of letdown game. And I'll just be interested to see if the Raptors be a professional team. You know, a team that's going to win 60 games would just take care of business on a night like tonight. A team that's going to win 52 games would lose a game like this. So I just thought I'm interested to see that, and that's one of the things you can do. We can sit here and watch the Jazz play the Mavericks and also watch the Raptors play the Kings in addition to Lakers Wolves,
and
I like it.
So one thing that I was
commenting on before we started the pod, this portion of the podcast, was how weird the season has been. And you said, like, well, why do you say that, Andrew? It's like, well, we're 10 games into the season, and the Jazz had won a bunch of games early and then lost a series of games, and the Rockets were struggling, and now it seems like they've, like, settled a little bit by beating up on bad teams. It doesn't seem like there's a good feel for where we are with a bunch of teams outside of the Warriors.
But isn't that really just the NBA? I mean, isn't the NBA, you know, basically an ebb and flow that you see teams come and go?
It kind of isn't. For the last 4 years, we knew that it was going to be the Cavs and it was going to be the Warriors. There was a little bit of intrigue last season because Boston looked really good and LeBron had, like, a couple of scares in the postseason. But by and large, you knew who the good teams were and who the bad teams were. And it seems like in the early going, everything seems upended to me.
But why would that be weird?
I guess for 4 years, that's not the status quo.
I don't know. Here comes Tyson Chandler. He just made his debut.
Here we go. Cal Dominguez.
God, that beard is just unbelievable.
He may or may not live in Calabasas.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hear people say routinely, boy, this was a weird game, or this was a, boy, that was a weird fourth quarter.
And weird I'm like, start to a season.
Like you just said. And I'm like, I mean, not really. I mean, you know, strange stuff happens in the, I almost said, you know what? Strange stuff happens in the NBA. It's been a long day. And, you know, I'm used to seeing strange stuff happen in the NBA, and I just sort of shrug my shoulders and go, that's the league.
How about this? When's the last time you saw a weird thing that wasn't in the season? In the last four years, what's an oddity that
came? Okay, I will say this. When I went to a game this year, another Wolves game, and Jimmy Butler got booed and being introed and MVP chance in the fourth quarter. That was weird.
Yeah. That things like that have not happened in previous seasons.
Well, that was a unique event. You know, like, the fact that the Jazz are starting slow, that's surprising. It isn't weird. And, you know, 10 games from now, they could win 8 out of 10, and it's fine.
I have so we're here at Lakers Wolves, and Jimmy Butler is obviously the focus of attention wherever the Wolves are going these days. So I have a question for you. Everyone thought he was going to get traded before the season started. There was a whole lot of footsies going on with the Miami Heat. There was a lot of heavy flirtation, and then that didn't happen. And he's still with the Wolves, and it seems like he's calling his shots in terms of what games he's going to play, what games he's not going to play.
Yeah, you know, let me just say real quick, this is weird too. This morning, before we talked to Tom Thibodeau about Nick Friedell, which I think, you know, now that our listeners have heard that, like, Tibbs was giving everybody the death stare, and then I said, hey, I want to ask you about Nick Friedell, and it was like his face lost, you know, 4 pounds. He was so happy. even though he made fun of him, he likes Nick. It is weird, I'll give you this, but I'm building your case for you. It is weird that Jimmy Butler, who is healthy, who's had a day off, played the last game, and yet we have to ask, is he playing tonight?
It's very peculiar.
Yes, and that is weird. And, you know, that is not a good place for anybody to be. It's not a good place for the league to be in. And, you know, here's the thing. It's just accepted. It's accepted. This is the way it is.
Is this the evolution of a player forcing his way off of a team without outright asking? Because you know if a player says...
Well, he has asked.
Well, because if a player publicly says he wants to be traded, that's a finable offense.
Right. But, I mean, they don't say it in public. They don't have to.
Right.
But just the concept that... That, you know, Tom Thibodeau, who, you know, what he said this morning was, oh, you know, in training camp, you know, he missed training camp, and so, you know, you're going to be a little bit more sore. Tom Thibodeau said that. This is a guy who put guys back out there with bad knees, with bad ankles, you know, played them through the flu, you know, played them 45 minutes on back-to-backs, four games in 5 nights. You're telling me that Tom Thibodeau can, with a straight face, which he did with a straight face, can say, well, you know, he missed training camp a month ago, and so he might be a little sore when he has days off in between games. It is just, look, we all know it's ridiculous. He knows it's ridiculous. You know, And in a weird way, I think it's respectable, at least, that he's not throwing Jimmy under the bus and just saying, you know, whatever. But I will give you granted, that is weird.
I have a quick aside, which is, it's Tom Thibodeau with...
I've gone back and forth. It's Thibodeau.
Thibodeau. But when we say Tibbs, it's a hard T.
I know, but it really should be Thibs. Some people say Thibs.
Is there conclusive proof that it's Thibs and not Tibbs?
There may be, but I'm not aware of it.
This is something we should have asked.
It's true. That would have been good.
That would have been good.
We could have got him on the record. Once maybe if things go well in this game, you can ask him something like that after the game.
Everyone that's listening at this point should be rooting for a Timberwolves win so we can just charge into that locker room and ask
yes.
Coach Thibodeau whether it's Tibbs or Thibs.
But he'll probably already count Carl Towns just threw down a dunk. By the way, ever since I made the comment to you about Toronto, they've been destroying the Kings. It went from like a 4-point game to a 14-point game.
Ah, orders restored. You're right. It's not a weird league. Brian, so there's a minute 34 left in this game right now. The score is 111-107. Derrick Rose just nailed.
But you didn't say he was leading.
The Lakers are leading.
So the thing about this game, it's been a pretty spirited game, but the Lakers, the Wolves have hit like a record number of threes. They're shooting 50% from 3-point range.
And Derrick Rose is having another stellar game.
He is. He looks fantastic. And
yeah.
He just hit another three.
Just hit another three. It's 111-110 now with 106 left. They called a timeout.
So, Derrick Rose, he is, I mean, look, we're only going to talk about what Derrick Rose looks on the court.
I want to make one thing clear here. I understand that there's no rooting in the media room, but I guess I won't speak for you because you're a bona fide media member. I really want...
You're only partially bona fide.
Yeah, I'm only bona media member. And I want the Wolves to win because I would really like for them to be in a good mood for us to talk to them post-game.
All right, well, to me, I just don't want overtime.
Yes.
I really don't care who wins.
It's the media member's mantra.
I would just say that the Wolves are on the road. They are 20 of 39 on three-pointers, which...
Derrick Rose is 7 of 8 for 3.
That's crazy. I mean, that's got to be the best three-point shooting game of his career.
Most likely.
Jimmy is 5. Jimmy Butler is 5 of 8. And yet they are not winning, which is just,
down by 1.
Look, they're not sending this tape to Springfield. This is a really good regular season game. This is what I'm talking about when I say every night the NBA does something cool.
Well, but even this is a weird game because the Lakers and the Wolves have both been mired in dysfunction.
That doesn't make it a weird game. You can have two teams in last place that have a great game.
But it's a well-played game. There's very little sign of dysfunction
in
this game.
Well, there's been great offense in this game. Both teams shooting. LeBron needs one assist for a triple-double. So we'll see what they're going to run. Now, this has been a problem for them. They've got Brandon Ingram bringing the ball up the court. They isolated LeBron against Wiggins. And this is something that LeBron should win this matchup. All right, they're bringing up a screen.
Tyson Chandler, newly signed.
They're finishing the game. What does that tell you?
Yep. That's LeBron like a 30-foot three-pointer. But they got the ball again.
Yeah, LeBron missed a three. He should go 2-for-1 here. So
40 seconds left.
He's a missed three-pointer. LeBron, the ball got batted out. LeBron got the ball back. Go 2-for-1. He's going against Wiggins. He's going against Butler.
Kuzma wide open for the corner, and he misses.
Right. I don't know whose ball it is, though. It's going to be Lakers' ball.
They're marking it Lakers' ball.
But this is important, and this is interesting. So there's 28 seconds left, and this was last year. There's, you know, they'd have the full shot clock, but now they only have 14 seconds. So
right.
The Wolves are going to
change.
The Wolves are going to have a chance to get a last shot. And so again, they're isolating LeBron, and this will be Jimmy Butler on him. And there's a switch to Andrew Wiggins. LeBron just shot a three, and Chandler swatted
it out. Tyson Chandler.
It's amazing It's amazing that Tyson Chandler was signed yesterday and is finishing this game and is already making an impact.
Well, but he's making an impact in the way that Tyson Chandler is famously known for. He's the one that popularized that back path offensive rebound.
That's true. But I'm just going to say, from the other standpoint in this game, Karl Towns has been nothing in the second half. I don't know if he's made a basket in the second half. He's been terrible in the second half. I mean, three times there they had a chance to get a rebound, and Towns wasn't able to get it. And, you know, you can say all you want about, you know that he doesn't play as well with Towns on with Jimmy Butler on the court. You're a max player. You got to get the ball there. You have a chance to win the game.
Sure.
So Kuzma is at the line. He hit the first free throw. What's going to happen here, Andrew, is he's going to hit this, and then there's going to be a timeout. Is what I expect. He missed it.
Missed it. They're going to call
it. At least the Wolves got a rebound there.
So Taj Gibson gets the rebound. Friend of the pod now because he was on
it. Yeah, he was. And I think he enjoyed it.
I hope he enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll enjoy it a little less if the Timberwolves end up losing.
Yeah. I don't think he'll be happy to see us if they lose this game.
Let me ask you this, Brian. Earlier in the evening, you were going over the Lakers' next five or six games, and you were saying, like, there's a schedule that they have to go maybe 4-2. That's a respectable stretch across that game. But
they have a window here to get themselves squared away.
But I think the assumption going into tonight was they would probably lose this game against the Timberwolves, even though
I don't know. I think this was a game that they have to win because it's a seven-game stretch where they play the Timberwolves, then they play the Kings, the Hawks, the Blazers, and they go to play three East games, Magic, Heat, Cavs. So you're figuring that if you win tonight's game, you go to 5-6. Then Kings and Hawks, the Kings game's on the road, but you got to feel good about both of those games.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to feel like you have a good chance. You know, the next four games, Blazers, and then three teams that are not great. You got to feel good about going 3-1 in that. So I'm thinking that, you know, maybe seven games, you know, 5-2. You know?
Sure.
And then you're back above 500 and the pressure's off a little bit and they got to play defense here.
You're really putting it on the Lakers though, because I was going to say that the Timberwolves did not play poorly in this game. You just said that
they shot the ball as good as they're ever going to shoot.
So
this
is a good quality win for the Lakers.
They're going to Carl Towns here. They're going to Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose is shooting a three.
7-8 and he misses it now. So he's 7-9. Kuzma got the rebound and Jimmy Butler rebounds. This game is done.
Let me just say something real quick. And I recognize Derrick Rose is having one of the best shooting games of his career tonight. But on this court right now, they have Jimmy Butler, Karl Towns, Andrew Wiggins, and they ran the play for Derrick Rose. And by the way, the play worked. He was wide open at the top of the key. But I don't know if that's a compliment to Derrick Rose or that's an indictment on
Towns, Butler, Wiggins.
I mean, look.
Tolliver was out there.
There's Josh Hart made one free throw. The game's over.
Right.
But, I mean, and it's a nice win for the Lakers. You know, this was a seesaw game. There was a whole bunch of things. You know, they needed to win this game. You know, it's a nice stepping stone, especially since Tyson Chandler helped them. But not the greatest moment for the Wolves. Another low spot. They actually had Jimmy Butler, and he played pretty well.
Right.
And they still, you know, I don't know. It's just not good.
Okay.
But it was an enjoyable game.
Enjoyable
night in November in the NBA. LeBron played reasonably well. The Lakers played great. And I would assume that the big story after this game for all the Lakers media will be Chandler's contributions late in the game.
Yeah.
And that'll do it. Two clutch free throws from Josh Hart. And the Lakers are going to get a hard-fought win here tonight. Meanwhile, the Timberwolves will lose their fourth in a row and stay winless on the road. Tyson Chandler in his first game of his new team, 23 minutes, 9 rebounds, some great defense. Four different Lakers had 20 or more, and a very difficult defeat for Minnesota. They played well enough to win on the road, but came up short. And LeBron James with 24 points, 10 rebounds, and 9 assists.
Well, we're out with Rachel Nichols. in the bowl.
Can we describe? Can we describe the scene? What time is it?
Was it 10:45 p.m.?
10:47 Pacific.
The game's been over for a while. Rachel and I have been in the locker room, just talking to people. Yep. You know? Talking to executives, talking to agents. Some agents were here tonight. I'm tired, Rachel. I'm not going to lie. I wish I had more energy. I mean, they would say, you energy, but I'm tired. It's been a long day.
What is interesting to me now, and ever since we started the jump, and I now work across the street, right, is that I'm often coming to Lakers games or Clippers games to see the other team, right? All these teams come visit. Okay. This is how Brian spends his days in L.A.
Is that Jimmy?
No.
Someone just came into the someone just came into the Minnesota home van section. And
just to set the scene,
yes.
We are sitting on the baseline on the home side of, where the home reporters sit, and on the opposite end of the court in the lower bowl is where family and friends.
The family section for the other team.
I'm pretty sure that's Taj. We talked to Taj this morning about getting all those folks tickets.
Right.
Well, I was going to say
is that so I've been, and you also, since we started doing the jump out here, we'll come over to Lakers and Clippers games to see all these teams cycle through. I think, and I wanted to know from you, it feels like this season, Lakers games are, we all know why, are such a central meeting point for so many people that you said agents, executives, etc. Every time I walk into this building now for a game, yes, I want to see the visiting team coming through. Yes, of course, you want to check in with LeBron and the Lakers, but then there's just all of the people who are around basketball. There's just a magnet now. There's so many people.
Yeah. The other day I was walking into the hotel, Rachel, and I ran to an agent, and I had a one-hour conversation with him in the hotel as I was trying to get to my room. Hello, Om Young Lasuk, who was on the pod earlier this week, saying hello. So, Rachel, tonight, I feel like Lakers stuff happened, but tonight was a sort of Jimmy Butler didn't even have to say anything. Like Wiggins and Towns were non-existent in the second half of this game. And Derrick Rose played his butt off. But if you watch tonight's game from Jimmy Butler's
perspective... Dave McManaman, people!
Sorry. if you watch this game from Jimmy Butler's perspective, you could kind of understand why he was frustrated.
It's so hard to say what Jimmy Butler's issues are about.
I know.
But it has not seemed to me that his number one issue has been Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. I'm not saying they're not side issues or they're not related in a nuanced way. I have heard from him over and over, and everybody can decide for themselves the validity of this, but it's that he felt like the messaging he has gotten since he got to Minnesota was, hey, Jimmy, you're our best player. Hey, Jimmy, you're the leader. Hey, Jimmy, we need you to not only play top 10 NBA player kind of basketball, offense and defense, because we like doing both here, and play for a coach who really works you with the minutes and the practices and everything. But also, for all of that, we want you to change the mindset and playing style of our young guys to get them on board with this whole philosophy. And yet, in his eyes, he was asked to do all that and told all of that, and yet then he watches Andrew Wiggins get a big contract, and he watches Karl Anthony Towns get a big contract. And of course, some of that is just timing, but if you're the guy who you feel all of that is on your shoulders, and you are being told you're the most important guy, but we're not going to pay you like that right now, just wait. Wait till next summer. Okay, wait for the next summer after that. That is what he has communicated. That has been his frustration. And I think Karl Anthony Towns or Andrew Wiggins being actors or players in that scenario has created some of the friction. But I don't know. I'm not in all their practices. But what I keep being told is, like, no, he'd play with them. It's not like he doesn't want to play with them. I mean, they obviously play out there together. It's just sort of the bigger picture.
Well, we spent most of our day with the Wolves. So we'll talk about the Lakers real quick before we can go home. You can go home. And prepared. By the way, I just want to say, I said this before, but I want to say it again. Rachel, how many shows a year do you do? How many jump shows a year do you
300
do?
300 something.
And she, for 97, maybe 98% of them, writes a monologue. She writes that.
Mm-hmm. I wrote two today.
You're right, you did. One pretty late.
Yes.
Because the All-Star game. And yeah, and there's all, you know, I have this weekly column now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a shame. It's not a plug. I'm just saying.
No, it's good.
And it ran today. So now my calendar flips over to the next week, and I'm already
thinking,
getting worried.
What am I going to do? What's going to happen?
Right. Worried.
Exactly.
And you have to come up with one by the morning.
5 days a week, five columns a week.
And you're here tonight to see Rob Pelinka and Jimmy Butler and
Tom Thibodeau
and
Gibson,
LeBron
and
James
and Derrick Rose.
The agents, yes, I saw you talking to Derek and Taj Gibson. Okay, so the Lakers.
Because if I'm going to talk, I say this all the time, if I'm going to talk about someone for an hour a day on TV and I don't talk to them, that makes no sense to me.
I know. It's difficult to work in a studio show and also be out in the world. It's easier to do it in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. but you had to work all day today and then come to this game. But yep. It's not about us. Yes, Andrew?
Before we get to the Lakers, Rachel, do you know definitively it's Tom Thibodeau,
mm-hmm.
TH.
But when Tibbs.
It's hard T when it's short.
But when you spell Tibbs, I spell it with a TH.
Right.
I know. We were hoping that he would be in a good mood after the game. We could get a clarification on that.
That did not happen.
No,
he. I saw him in the locker room after the game, and the look that he has on his face when his team's just giving mm-hmm. up like two easy baskets in a row was the look that he had in the locker room.
There
was no decompression.
There's no
that it happened.
We work though with both Paul Pierce and Tracy McGrady,
yeah.
who you will see Tracy tomorrow, who played for Tibbs, and you can ask him if anyone around T-Mac has ever called Tom Thibodeau Fibs. But right. I don't think that they have.
I think you're right. I think that is our answer. I think you've got to the bottom. So real quick, the Lakers, before we go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which way to look at it. I don't know on one hand to say, boy, they got a guy in Tyson Chandler, threw him into the game 24 mm-hmm. hours later, had him finish the game.
Yep.
And had him, you know, I think Carl Towns was 0-5 against him in the second half, plus he had the big back tips, whatever. I don't know whether you say, boy, what great job by the Lakers,
mm-hmm.
or boy, was the team in desperate need, and look, they this just picked a guy, and they just threw him in there, and he immediately helped. I don't know which one it is. I'll be optimistic and say, boy, great job by the Lakers.
I mean, does it matter? In the end.
You know, in the end,
is
it doesn't.
Is this a tree falls in the forest issue?
I guess for tonight, we won't relitigate July. We'll just say it was a great job by Tyson.
I feel like you and I relitigate.
I know.
You and I will be relitigating. You and I are relitigating 2 Augusts ago still. At least I am.
I was going to say. I know. And I don't see any end in sight in that.
My, they didn't have to trade Kyrie bandwagon is still rolling.
yeah.
No, I mean, look, yes, it is better to have Tyson Chandler on this roster than to not have Tyson Chandler on this roster. The question you're asking, in essence, is will that be enough? I don't know. What is enough? Enough is getting into the playoffs, right? That's all. That's certainly at this point, that is all anybody can hope for this team, correct? Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean,
there's a point maybe in
yes.
the summertime where people
playoffs,
were candy-colored, sort of like, no, they could get in the Western Conference Finals.
Yes, if they get into the playoffs, it is a good season for them.
Right? Everyone will treat that like a win.
I agree. And
so
they're 5-6.
Is he enough to help them get in the playoffs?
What if we took it a step back? Is he enough to take the pressure off until Christmas?
Until Christmas.
What does that mean, though?
No more
Magic screaming matches with Luke.
But the Magic has now said publicly Luke is staying on the season.
I know, but that doesn't mean anything. But I will say
I'm just saying. I think it's fascinating that Magic sort of... You know, Magic is used to, and great players are like this, right? They make big statements, they do big things, and that's probably what led to that Tuesday meeting that had the yelling and the cursing, and it's what led to him trying to walk it back on that Sunday and then saying, oh no, he's here for the whole season. Oh, is he Magic?
You know what though? Luke came out of that meeting, and for whatever flack it was and painful and, you know, the stuff he had to deal with, he pretty much got them to get him another center.
If Tyson Chandler hadn't gotten bought out by the Suns, what would they have done?
Well,
it's not like they picked Tyson Chandler off
a
shelf at the grocery store. He happened to become available.
Well, I need to do some reporting on this. It's
okay.
Unclear to me whether Tyson Chandler became available and then the Lakers signed him, or Tyson Chandler was waiting for the Lakers to say they would sign him and then he became available.
Aggregate it. Brian's going to do reporting on it.
Well, I'm just saying. Like, report. Winhurst to do reporting. You know, that is so surprising. But because I've heard it kind of both ways. So, do you have a opinion on that?
I just want to know a little bit more logistically. Don't the Phoenix Suns have to be involved in this decision?
Well, of course they do, but I think the Suns had understood they were going to buy Tyson out at some point, and the Lakers said, we're ready for you. I mean, don't you think it's pretty clear the Lakers said, we're ready for you, and then Tyson went and got a buyout?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, there had to be another party that said yes.
That's so true, but
so the whole the parrot. I guess what I'm saying is I'm taking a little bit of an issue with the paradigm of, well, man, yes, he endured Magic cursing at him and all that, but he said, "Go get me a center," and they went and got him. They got lucky that Tyson Chandler, who is a veteran, who has won a ring, who is sort of a calming presence in the locker room, who's liked, who has size, who still rebounds, like. That's a pretty, I mean, he's no longer the player at 36 that he was at 30, but man, that guy was available was not a sure thing
week. They got lucky that the Suns weren't the Kings and had started 6-4.
This is my point, is basically that Luke could have been in that meeting saying, get me a center, and no centers were available to be gotten.
That's true. They got him. All right, Rachel. Well, yet another day ends, and we go on.
Jump prep starts between 7 and 7:30 a.m.
Oh,
you ready?
My God, no, I'm not on.
That's
tomorrow.
I start.
I know. And yet, she always has so much energy. She really does. I'm not making that up, right?
There's two of her.
I'm highly caffeinated.
All right. Thank you, Rachel. Thank you for listening to Hoop Collective. I hope that everybody enjoyed this day.
These are awesome. You guys all want more of these, right? Write to Andrew. Write to Winhorse. Do your little tweet.
Send
on the Twitter.
Send an email to Jimmy Pitaro, head of ESPN, because he oversees this.
These are fun.
Thank you for listening.